2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through to 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the word of the Lord.
What's it like to live as a Christian? The answers to that question in the media present the Christian as something of a softie. We can't really cope with the hard knocks of life, and so we retreat into a world in which we can talk to our Heavenly Father and be comforted, even though the world says that God doesn't really exist. In other words, Christianity is escapism. Contrast the Apostle Paul, the man who planted churches and taught churches and discipled Christian leaders, not least the young pastor Timothy. Verse 3, I think, is instructive. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Escapism. This is hard-nosed realism. One of the things Bernard emphasizes at Exploring Christianity is evidence-based faith. In other words, the evidence leads us to a faith in Jesus. It's not escapism. There is the evidence of design in creation. There's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. There's the evidence of Jesus himself, his life, his teaching, his miracles, his resurrection. There's the evidence of what happened when the church was born. Not least, the miracle of what God did in the Apostle Paul's life. He He was the arch skeptic regarding Jesus. And he became convinced that Jesus is God. Paul has been teaching Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony about Jesus, but to join Paul in suffering for the gospel. Paul suffers because he is a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. Timothy is to guard the good deposit, the deposit of apostolic truth. He's not to change the gospel in any way. Now today, as Timothy suffers and serves, be strong. Remember Jesus and be committed. Firstly then, be strong, verse 1. You then, my son, we've noted before the close relationship between Paul and Timothy. Paul regards Timothy as his spiritual son. And this just flags up the role the older Christian can play in the younger Christian's life. Is this something you could do? Could you befriend a younger Christian? Take an interest in them, love them, encourage them, help them to live for Christ. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's striking that we begin the Christian life by grace. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. We begin the Christian life by grace. God gives us the gift of faith. It's not something we work up for ourselves. We don't deserve it. We deserve God's judgment. By grace, we receive God's love. That's how we begin the Christian life. And that is how we continue the Christian life. That's how we are strong. God is gracious to us. He speaks to us from his word day by day. He meets with us in prayer. He strengthens us as we meet with God's people. This is all of grace. None of it is deserved. And we must seek this. Timothy is told to be strong in God's grace. It won't happen without effort. If he's going to be strong, he must use the means of grace. Timothy must take time to meditate on God's word. He must take time to pray. He must prioritize being with God's people. If he does these things, if he lives his life with Jesus on the throne, he will be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If he does not prioritize his relationship with God, he will not be strong in God's grace. His being strong in God is the foundation for what Paul says next, verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Timothy's been told in chapter 1, verse 14, to guard the good deposit of the gospel. Now he must entrust the good deposit to reliable Bible teachers. This implies great strength on the part of Timothy. He's got to be strong enough now to lead a team. He's got to be strong enough that he can cope with the inevitable tensions in church life. His focus is the things you have heard me say, says Paul. Timothy is not to be original. To guard the good deposit of apostolic faith means to stay true to the Apostle Paul's teaching and the teaching of the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about what this teaching is. It was said in the presence of many witnesses. It is written down in Paul's letters. There's no doubt what is the deposit of apostolic truth. And Timothy is to entrust this body of truth to reliable men, to be elders, who will teach the church in Ephesus, where Timothy is pastor. And he is to entrust this truth to women who will teach the women and children. They will be qualified to teach others. All of this will require great strength from Timothy. There will be competing egos. There will be people trying to pressurize him into going in different directions. Be more experiential, Timothy. Be more mystical. Be more sacramental. Be more musical. Be less concerned about teaching. Could be anything. And Paul says, be strong. Be strong in the way I've taught you. Be strong like a soldier. Verse 3. Accept suffering. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Timothy, it won't be all vicar's tea parties with cucumber sandwiches and fondant fancies, although there will be some of that. Join with me in suffering. I thought being a minister would be a job with lots of free time and therefore lots of opportunity to read books. Paul says to anyone who wants to live seriously for Christ, you're going to be at war. You're going to be a soldier. You're going to be at war against the world which hates Christ. There will be people who hate the fact that you love Christ, and they may make your life extremely difficult. You will be at war against your own sinful nature. How complicated. Part of you loves Christ and wants to follow Christ. The better part of you loves Christ like this. But your sinful nature wants to disobey Christ. So we do and say things we regret. And that's like being at war. You've got this battle to be like Jesus. And behind your sinful nature is Satan himself, who will do everything in his power to make you disobey Jesus. This is war. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. How do we fight this battle with strength? Verse 4. Avoid distractions, as a soldier avoids civilian affairs. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. A soldier is single-minded. This is war. He can't afford to allow himself to be distracted by the needs of home. He's at war. His priority is to win the war. His focus is not on his own priorities. His focus is not even his family's priorities. His focus is on winning the war. Actually, when you put Christ first and serve as his foot soldier, God meets your personal needs and the needs of your family. But the way to succeed as a soldier, verse 3b, is to try to please his commanding officer. Who is the commanding officer? For Timothy, it was the apostle. We all obey our commanding officer by obeying Paul's letter. But behind Paul and the other apostles, the supreme commanding officer is Jesus himself. We must be strong, single-mindedly obeying King Jesus. That's one way to be strong. Set on pleasing the commanding officer. Then, like an athlete, verse 5. An athlete is, by definition, a strong person, physically strong. What does an athlete do? They receive the crown by competing according to the rules, verse 5. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. God's word is our rule. My son Robbie understands the rules of rugby far better than I do. When Ireland beat Wales a month ago, Robbie messaged me to say Ireland were cheating at the breakdown. Blankness, total blankness out there. I take his word for it. I couldn't really see that from my armchair. I would need it to be pointed out to me by the commentators or by my son. Rugby players can get away with this for so long, but in the end, they'll get a yellow card. They'll get 10 minutes in the sin bin. If they offend repeatedly, it could be a red card. It's not strong sportsmanship to win by cheating. The strong athlete competes according to the rules. The strong Christian loves God's word and desires to be ruled by it. All of us face a choice in this. Here is the world saying, be like us. Live for self. Live for pleasure now. And here is Jesus saying, live for me. Compete according to the rules. Love the Bible. Read it. Be guided by it. Be strengthened by it. And then, be strong like a farmer, verse 6. Hardworking, and therefore the first to receive a share of the crops. I don't know much about it, but farming looks like pretty hard work to me. My son has done some work for James Northern. He always comes back pretty shattered, not to mention dirty and smelly. But imagine being a farmer in a pre-industrialized society. You actually lived by the sweat of your brow. And it's going to be like this to live as a Christian. You'll be strong, but you will have to work very hard. Christians who won't work hard, who won't serve, who won't get involved, they always end up as weak Christians. They're vulnerable to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Christians who work hard, they become robust. Verse 7, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Think about it. Paul wants us to be strong Christians. Number 2, remember Jesus Christ, verse 8. What do you do when you start to struggle as a Christian? When you start to feel weak and wobbly instead of strong, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ. And in particular, remember his resurrection. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. That's an encouraging thought. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So whatever we're struggling with, God can handle it. Jesus was raised from the dead. This shows that he was God. Death could not hold him. This showed that his work of dying for us on the cross was a success. He has paid for our sin once and for all. Jesus is God. He is also man, descended from David. This is Paul's gospel. Jesus is God. God raised him from the dead to show that he is the savior of the world. He's also fully man, therefore able to represent us on the cross to take our place, and able to sympathize with us in our weakness. And see here the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. The Old Testament consistently promises that the Messiah will be a descendant of David. This is my gospel, says Paul. Verse 9, for which I am suffering like a criminal. If it were not true, if Paul had not met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, if it were not true, would Paul be willing to suffer like a criminal? He knows it's true. He knows Jesus is God. He knows the Old Testament has been fulfilled. Therefore, he's willing to suffer for it. But Paul suffers. Paul is chained. But God's word is not chained. Paul might be locked up in a Roman prison. He might be physically chained, but God's word is spreading like an Australian forest fire. People are becoming Christians. The church is growing more and more. Therefore, verse 10, Paul can endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation. There's a point to Paul's suffering. It's for the sake of the elect. The elect are God's people. The elect is another word for the church, God's chosen ones. Paul is willing to suffer because he wants the elect to grow to maturity in Christ. He wants them to obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. There is a hell to avoid and a heaven to gain. And Paul's suffering is all so that we can go to heaven. Salvation with eternal glory. He doesn't just want us to be saved by the skin of our teeth, sneaking into heaven by the back door. He wants rather that we know eternal glory. How wonderful. Jesus will be the glory of heaven. He wants us to know and enjoy him forever. Number 3, be committed, verse 11. These are the words of a hymn, probably. We must die with Christ. If I want to live with him for all eternity, I must die with Christ. Willingness to die to self will be eternally rewarded, verse 11. If we died with him, we will also live with him. Have you died with Christ? Physically, we haven't died. But have we died to our own selfish desires? Have we died to our own comforts? If we have, we will also live with him. We will live with Christ in heaven forever. So in the moment of decision, shall I give in to my selfish desire? Or shall I be the person Jesus wants me to be? If I die to my selfish desire, that's a sign that I belong to Jesus. And therefore, I will be with him forever. Verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Keep going. Endure. Keep going to the very end. Don't give up on the Christian life. You will reign with Jesus in the new creation. I don't understand exactly what that means. Jesus will be on the throne, but we will be part of his leadership team. We will have a role in stewarding the new creation. But verse 12b, if we disown him, he will disown us. So there's a choice. Endure to the end and reign with Christ, or disown him. Pretend that we've never known him, and he will disown us on the day of judgment. Verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Possibly this means that even if we let him down, he will never let go of us. There is truth in that statement. Jesus says in John 10, 28 and 29 on the screen, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you get the picture? Jesus gives us eternal life. we shall never perish. No one will snatch us out of Jesus' hand. The Father has given us to the Son. And no one will snatch us out of the Father's hand. We are held by Jesus and by the Father. And so if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot disown himself. He cannot disown the promise he has made to save us. That's one interpretation of this verse. The other view is like this. If we are faithless, Jesus is faithful to his promise to disown us, because he cannot disown himself. He's just said in verse 12, if we disown him, he will also disown us. Both are true. Jesus has saved us. We are safe in his hands. But if we choose to disown him, he will also disown us. Be strong. Remember Jesus. Be committed. Are you being strong as a Christian? Are you being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Are you allowing God to strengthen you by teaching you from the Word? Is God strengthening you through prayer? Is God strengthening you through other Christians? This is all a gift of grace. Will you remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Will you see your problems in the perspective of the resurrection? If God could do that, if God could raise Jesus from the dead, he can handle my problems. Will you remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead? When you're tempted to disown Jesus, will you remember his glorious resurrection? Will you be committed to him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us all to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Father, by nature, we're very weak. We can leave a meeting like this. Something annoys us. We can fall into sin so easily. We can forget to pray. We can neglect your word. We can decide not to come to church. We fail to use the means of grace again and again. And so this week, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen us. Help us to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. Lord, when we look at our problems, grant us to remember the resurrection. And would we be so committed to living for Christ that we're willing to die for him? Lord, help us in these things, we pray. Would we truly be your people, living for your honor and glory? For Jesus' sake, amen.